Consistency and foreseeability. That's what any regulator strives for. But when FINRA CEO Robert Cook asked around, he heard that wasn't always the case, particularly when it came to two different enforcement teams. So FINRA responded by bringing these two teams into one enforcement. Taking on this task is Susan Schroeder, FINRA's new head of enforcement. In this episode, she tells us how. Welcome to FINRA Unscripted. From New York, I'm your host, Caitlin Kiernan. I'm very pleased to be joined today by one of FINRA's most thoughtful leaders, Susan Schroeder, the head of our enforcement group. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you for having me.
Susan, you are nearly a year into a new job here at FINRA. Last July, you were appointed Executive Vice President of Enforcement, and that was a promotion for you. So congrats on that.
Thank you very much.
You were previously Deputy Chief. Can you tell us what has been the most difficult part of transitioning from deputy to actually leading an enforcement group?
There are a lot of challenges involved in transitioning, from learning the names of 250 additional people to really understanding all of the different subject matter expertise that the teams have and the different functions that different parts of the department play. But the biggest challenge, I'd say, has been integrating the legacy enforcement group with the legacy market regulation legal group, which had been a distinct group in a different part of the organization prior to my promotion.
Yeah, when you were promoted, that was announced that we were going to bring these two teams together. Can you tell us why is it so essential to bring those teams together?
Sure. So by way of background, the legacy enforcement team had been a part of the regulatory operations group. And that team brought enforcement cases, disciplinary actions that mostly arose out of sales practice examinations, FinOp examinations, and our Office of Fraud Detection and Market Intelligence. The legacy market regulation legal group was part of the market regulation group, and the cases that they brought arose primarily out of market surveillance and trading exams. So different specialized knowledge. But the issue that we found we were having was that the two departments sometimes looked quite different from each other, including the disciplinary actions they were bringing, even to the point where the documents had a different look and feel, especially after coming off of Robert Cook's listening tour and hearing comments from the industry and other stakeholders, we realized how important consistency and foreseeability are in order to complete our regulatory mission.
How are you working to bring consistency to this new integrated team?
There are several things we're doing to try to increase our level of consistency and foreseeability. One, of course, is a structural reorganization. And in the past several months, we have restructured the group to take better advantage of all the resources we have internally. We've also created a new function within enforcement that had not existed before, a small department called the Council to the Head of Enforcement. And that's a group that is involved in reviewing cases in the beginning phase and at the very end of a case in order to add an additional set of eyes specifically trained on issues of consistency.
Who's going to be part of that new group?
So the head of that new group is our newly promoted Senior Vice President, Laura Tiagarajan, who has been a FINRA enforcement staff member and done just about every job in enforcement over the years. She is a terrific lawyer, a lawyer's lawyer, people always refer to her as, with a real ear for potential issues. And so she and her team will be working on not only consultation at the end of a case to make sure that the outcome is one that is foreseeable and really makes sense for the industry, achieves our purposes of deterrence, but also that incoming cases to enforcement, there is some consistency to those, an efficient and consistent approach that the team takes to incoming cases.
And when do you hope to have that group up and running?
Well, Laura's in that role, and she's been playing a very substantial role in the overall integration. In the month of April and continuing into May, we expect to add more staff into that team and use that staff to build out some of our new processes.
Great. And bringing together two groups of this size has to present a number of challenges. What would you say the biggest challenge has been?
The biggest challenge in bringing together two groups like that is the human aspect of the challenge. Change is hard. Nobody really likes change, I don't think. And there has been a certain level of uncertainty, particularly as we talked about restructuring the group within the past few months. So working with people to make sure that everyone feels confident about our continuing mission, doing our work on a day-to-day basis. We are building this path as we walk on it to some extent, and that can be uncomfortable. And so really trying to work with everybody to ensure that we have a clarity of vision and continue to work together on bringing the cases we're here to bring every day.
And I believe you have some experience in your past working on kind of big changes like this. What was one of your early jobs, and how did that help prepare you for what you're doing today?
Sure. Ironically, I was a change management consultant years ago before I went to law school. So I was a consultant in the Bay Area working on big changes in other industries that had nothing to do with securities or the law. But I did have the opportunity to learn some of the basic principles about change management. And it really goes back to communication and being human, as I said before, understanding the anxiety that change can promote and trying to provide people with information and avenues to be heard so that we can all work through it together.
So the human element is kind of the same regardless of what your job is or what industry you're in?
It is. I mean, so 25 years ago, I was working on rolling out new processes to bill for energy from energy generation facilities. Nothing related to anything I do now, but we really encountered a lot of the same problems. What's the best way for me to do my job? If you want me to do something differently, please tell me very specifically how you want me to be different, and let's make sure we have a shared vision of success.
So you've talked a lot about how it's human nature to feel a lot of anxiety around change, and I totally get that. What are the steps that you do to alleviate some of that natural anxiety and help ensure that your team is all on the same page and feel comfortable in the direction you're going?
So one thing I've learned through this process and continue to learn is that during a time of change, people are very thirsty for information. That waiting until you have a final work product and you can wrap it up in a bow and tell them this is exactly what the future is going to look like is only frustrating and counterproductive. I've learned that providing people with information as we go and telling them, this part over here, we're still working on. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we can tell you more about this other part over there. So communicating early and often, providing as much information as you have, and doing it in person to the extent you can. For example, we had an all-hands meeting where the 300-plus staff members within enforcement got together and talked about the future state. And we didn't know everything at that point about what we were going to do, but it was really useful to all be in the same room, raising issues and having clear conversation.
And these people, they come from all over, don't they? Where are your people located?
Yeah, they do come from all over. We have large groups of enforcement staff in New York and in Rockville, Maryland, but we also have enforcement teams in each of FINRA's 15 district offices. So it is a truly dispersed and diverse group of folks.
How, as a leader, do you work to make sure that everyone, no matter what office they're in, is feeling like they're understanding what the priority is and the direction that you're looking to bring the department?
So certainly I try to do my part in communicating clearly what my vision is. I also rely really heavily on our senior managers, and we are lucky enough to have a terrific, terrific group of senior managers. And they're on the ground every day with their staff, helping them fill in the blanks about what's the right thing to do here. Or, gee, under the new process, here's an issue we haven't thought about. You know, let's escalate it. Let's find a solution for this. So I think understanding that I can't be everywhere at once, but having a really great staff who shares my vision has been a huge part of it.
How do you anticipate this integration benefiting others we work with, whether it's the firms we regulate or other exchanges that we work with on a regulatory basis?
So the integration is really aimed at achieving what we have been calling within our group one enforcement. Part of the trigger for the integration was the sense that outcomes between the legacy market regulation legal group and the legacy enforcement group may not have always been proportional to each other. And so the major benefit of the integration is a more consistent and foreseeable enforcement program. I firmly believe that a regulator is only effective when the entities or individuals that it regulates know what the regulator is going to do. You need to know whether or not your conduct violates a rule. You need to understand what the consequences of misconduct will be. That's the whole point, really, of the regulatory structure, deterrence and remediation. And we cannot achieve deterrence unless we are extremely clear about what's okay and what's not okay. Making sure that our disciplinary actions clearly reflect why misconduct violates the rules and convey that message to the industry in a way that the industry can look at a case and say, okay, I completely get that. I understand exactly why that misconduct violated the rule. I understand exactly why FINRA thought it was important enough to bring a disciplinary action. I understand exactly why the sanction is what it is. That level of foreseeability and consistency is what drove the integration and what drives us every day.
In addition to your experience in change management, you've also worked on the other side of things. As a lawyer, you were a securities lawyer before you joined FINRA. How does that inform your perspective when you're looking to make these changes and making sure that the documents are consistent and that firms can look at it and say, aha, I get this?
That is a very useful perspective that I have, and one that a lot of folks on our enforcement staff have. Many of the lawyers and managers who work on the enforcement staff have also done stints on the defense side or within the industry. You know, people bring that specialized knowledge to us when they come here. And I think having that perspective is important. I can put on my, what would my client think about this hat when I'm reading a settlement document to see, will my client be able to discern what I want to convey in this document? I can anticipate what my former clients might ask after they read a document. And I can understand the challenges of being regulated, being in a highly regulated industry where you are facing multiple requests, perhaps, for information from different regulators, for example. That's a situation that I dealt with very frequently when I was defense counsel. And so really having empathy and understanding for the challenges of something like regulatory duplication so that we can make sure we, within our staff, are taking a reasonable approach, I think it's important to have that perspective.
We also have limits as a regulator. What are some things that you've learned since joining FINRA that you don't think securities lawyers might appreciate all the way about some of the challenges we face and the limits that we have?
Sure. There are a lot of challenges in being a regulator that I had not fully thought through before I joined FINRA from the other side. When I was a defense attorney, if I inherited a new case, here's my new case. It's about the failure of the asset-backed commercial paper market. Under the old regime, when I was representing firms, the first thing I would do is pick up the phone and call someone, call the head of the trading desk, and spend hours having that person walk me through how the products work, how the trading works, how the industry has been shaped, and what the potential issues are. If I did that now, if I picked up the phone and called the head of the fixed income desk, they'd have a heart attack. And so one of our big challenges really is making sure we stay current and really take advantage of our status as an SRO to understand the industry without enforcement showing up at every meeting and freaking everybody out.
Yeah, we don't want to give anyone heart attacks. That is not one of our goals at FINRA. So while you're bringing these teams together and you're working towards consistency, this isn't a change in our enforcement approach, is it? It's just a change in our own internal strategy and how we're looking at things.
You're absolutely right. There is no change in our enforcement approach. I don't want to leave anyone with the misimpression that we have never cared before about being consistent or foreseeable. But because we have this opportunity with the merger of the two groups to really reflect upon what did we have an opportunity to do better in the past, right? How could we have done better? What is there to enhance to make us even more effective tomorrow than we were yesterday? We came back to this notion of focusing on consistency and ensuring that when we speak with one voice on behalf of FINRA so that FINRA can be heard. The views of the regulator are quite clear for all the reasons I described before. So it's certainly not a new approach, but the integration has really given us an opportunity to focus on it anew and make sure that we are thinking about all of those issues when we think about how to be most successful.
So let's fast forward. The integration is totally done. You're happy with how things stand. What is your priority?
What is my priority? My goal is to remediate and prevent misconduct through timely and foreseeable enforcement action. I tell the team every day, we are here protecting the hard work and the dreams of other people. And there is no higher mission than that. And so every time we bring a case that returns money to someone who's been harmed, or every time we bar an individual who has done harm to someone, and we're making sure that won't happen again, I can't think of anything more satisfying to do as a lawyer or, frankly, as a human being. So my goal is to bring vigorous enforcement actions to address harm and to protect people, and do it fast and do it well.
Susan, thanks for joining us today. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed hearing about all the work you're doing on this integration. We'll definitely have to have you back again soon. Would love to take a deeper dive into some of the areas that you're working to improve this consistency. But that's it for today's episode. If you have any questions for future guests or ideas for future episodes, let us know. You can email us at finraunscripted@finra.org or reach out to us on social media. I'm Caitlin Kiernan from New York. Until next time.
Please note, FINRA podcasts are the sole property of FINRA, and the information provided is for informational and educational purposes only. The content of the podcast does not constitute any FINRA rule or amendment or interpretation to such rules. Compliance with any recommended conduct presented does not mean that a firm or person has complied with the full extent of their obligations under FINRA rules, the rules of any other SRO, or securities laws. This podcast is provided as is. FINRA and its affiliates are not responsible for any human or mechanical errors or omissions. Parties may not reproduce these podcasts in any form or reference them in any publication without the express written consent of FINRA.